Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. Reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I'm absolutely honoured to be joined by James Brokenshire, who is Member of Parliament for Old Bexley and Sidcup, but also our Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. James recognises the importance of careers advice in schools, and so has taken time out of his very busy schedule to come and talk to us. Indeed, he's literally just left Westminster to come here and talk to us for an hour about his own career history. James did not go into politics full-time straight from university. Rather, he went into law, first of all, and had a very successful career as a lawyer in London prior to moving across into politics. So James, thank you so much for joining us today. And I'd love to start by hearing a synopsis of your journey from school, sort of GCSE time, up till now.
Well, started off at grammar school in Essex, did my O-levels as they were there, now GCSEs, through to A-levels. Wanted to go to university, but equally always had an interest in politics, something that I had from a very early age. My dad was a local government officer, and I think that exposed me to politicians, to politics, to current affairs, all that sense of public service. And that, I think, did rub off on me and engendered this real interest, not just in politics, but also wanting to serve. And if the chance worked out, for me to become an MP, standing up for a community, standing up for a constituency, and really making that difference.
So you had that in mind from a very early age, but how were you at school? I mean, explain a little bit in terms of, you know, how academic you were and sort of things that you got up to at school.
Well, I certainly wasn't sporty or anything like that. I suppose because of that interest in debate, in some of that political interest that I had, I ended up being the chair of our school council at school, trying to talk to people, trying to get things fixed and people represented within my school, and other things on community service. That sort of was, I suppose, what I did. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed study, tried to work hard, probably could have worked harder as always. But nonetheless, it was that type of school experience that I went through.
And did you do any work experience at all while you were at school?
Yeah, I used to work in Boots the Chemist. So Saturday job doing that behind the counter. And do you know, I think it's sometimes those things that you can do as I would have been 16, 17 years, that actually starts to build your confidence in working with people, actually sometimes difficult people, working as part of a team. And so, yeah, certainly whilst give some extra money, it's also, I think, some of that life building experience that you gain from doing something like a Saturday job.
And, I mean, how confident were you at school?
Okay, I wouldn't say I was hugely confident, but it was certainly something that I felt I needed to work at, to build my confidence overall, to put myself into situations where you are stretching yourself. And yeah, that feels uncomfortable at times, you know, really uncomfortable, not sure whether you're going to succeed or fail. But, you know, life's a bit like that. And I suppose when you look at any career, it is always taking some of those opportunities of whether it's public speaking, whether it's just doing something like a job interview to get a Saturday job, that it is all about the new experience, what you learn from that. You don't always succeed, but how you take those knockbacks and then move on and succeed the next time.
And you went on to university to do law. Why did you choose law?
I was interested in law because, I suppose, maybe because of my political interest in understanding how the law works, making law, and equally that ability to argue a point of view in support of someone that you might be representing. And so it was something that innately I had an interest in when I was at school, thinking that this was what I'd enjoy, that I think would reflect my own skills, my own abilities. And so, yes, went on to study law at Exeter University and had a great 3 years there.
And did you do work experience of any sort while you were there?
Yeah, I spent a lot of my time on the student radio station there. I went on to be the news editor at University Radio Exeter, as it was then, and that was a great experience. It was a hell of a lot of fun doing bizarre things, sitting behind a mixing desk, doing a music program, through to interviewing some of the people that used to come down to the university, and you know, gained a lot of, I suppose, confidence, made some good friends there, but also, I think, develop skills that have certainly enabled me, I think, to go on and make a good a success as I can do from all that I do now.
And some people would be absolutely, you know, frightened and scared of actually going on the radio. Were you always comfortable about sort of speaking on things like radio, etc., or did you actually build that confidence as a result of doing that?
I think anybody who starts off doing this, it doesn't come naturally. Here we are today, sitting in a radio studio with a microphone in front of us. It is slightly alien, but yeah, you sort of get used to it. And I suppose that's the thing, that the more you do something, the more comfortable it becomes. And so that's why throwing yourself into a completely new experience that, yeah, crikey, sounds, you know, feels a bit scary at the outset, that over time it becomes more normal, that you relax, you're able to be comfortable in that type of situation. And yes, you know, being able to do a, you know, 2-hour talk program or something like that on radio, yeah, maybe not with so many listeners there, but nonetheless, to still put yourself out there, to be able to produce a radio program, to understand how all of that works, was a tremendous skill that I feel so privileged and really appreciated the chance that I got at university to do that now, given some of the media that I do now in my current role, but on the other side of the microphone.
Tell us what you did from uni.
When I was at university, I thought that I wanted to go and become a professional lawyer. Originally, I thought I would go down and become a barrister, being able to represent people in court, being able to, as I say, sort of do what I thought was the thing that I wanted to represent people, to argue a particular case. But I went and did some work experience, and it just didn't feel right for me. And so I had a change of plan. I qualified and then became a solicitor, did my professional exams there, and then went on to work at a corporate law firm in London that I then did that for the best part of, well, just over 13 years.
And isn't it interesting that sometimes you can do work experience and actually it cements what you don't want to do as opposed to what you do? And so there's always a great reason for doing work experience.
Any work experience, even if it's not necessarily in the field of work that you think might interest you. The thing that struck me is that sometimes you can have perceptions about either a job or a particular career. And when you're on the inside, actually seeing that it's very different to what you thought that it was on the outside. That's why work experience is, you know, I think so valuable, not just to confirm whether you're right, but equally from my own experience on confirming that when you're wrong. And that practical ability to talk to people in that work environment, to really see how they feel, see what they do on a day-to-day basis, because we spend so much of our time actually at work. And therefore doing something you enjoy, that you think really is going to stretch you, is going to meet your goals, your aspirations, But fundamentally, that you're doing something you actually want to go in to work every day to do. I just think if you can do that, it is just so important. And therefore, if you get the chance to get that experience, to get that ability to work out how you feel about things, what you think your own strengths are, and how you would then fit into a particular workplace, I think is just so, so important.
And you were 13 years with this particular firm in London.
Yeah.
And I think what's really comes out from talking to you is that it wasn't at that point just about your career. It really was about making a difference. It was sort of there was a bigger picture there, wasn't there?
Mm. I mean,
to what degree do you think it's important that, you know, people listening to us don't just choose a career, but actually think about what it is they want to do with their life?
Absolutely. And I know that seems very odd and very difficult to distill when, you know, leaving school or even at university on thinking, you know, what am I going to do? What sort of job do I want to do? Yet, of course, you know, a particular job is so, so important. But it's at times, what are the stepping stones? What are the skills that you want to develop that will help you do what ultimately you would like to do? What are your ambitions? What do you what makes you, I suppose, click? And I think for me it was about how to try to make a difference for people, to represent, to try to make improvements in the lives of people locally in the constituency that I represent, but equally on a broader scale too, that sense of public service on making that difference. And equally then trying to work through what skills you need to develop to be able to do that as effectively as possible.
To do that ultimately.
And give you chances as well, because sometimes it's about putting yourself out there, not realising that something's going to change and you happen to be in that position. It's like that sense of you've got to be on the field of play for the ball to come to you.
That saying, you have to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to constantly keep trying and putting yourself in the frame. And I know you had a very successful career as a lawyer. You reached a level of partner. But at the age of 35, you actually took quite a significant change in direction, which was full-time into politics. So, James, tell us about what happened when you decided to move full-time into politics.
Well, first of all, there's a process within each political party to get nominated onto a list of candidates. And then there's almost like a job process to get selected in each individual constituency. So whilst I was doing all of my career and work in the law, I'd been working as a volunteer within the voluntary party, the voluntary side of the Conservative Party over many, many years. But decided that I wanted to go on to the list of approved candidates to then take that next step of standing for office.
You were appointed into a seat at Hornchurch in 2005. And then, you know, over the last 10 to 15 years, you've had a phenomenal career. And, well, it would appear, and I know that there's been lots of steps, but it would appear that, you know, you've very much been fast-tracked into, you know, this very senior cabinet position. If you could just run through what those different steps were that got you from that MP in Hornchurch to now, that would really help.
Well, I think as an MP, and equally if you serve in government as a minister or even as a shadow minister, it's interesting, even there, you've got distinct jobs, you've got distinct roles. I very firmly remain a member of parliament, and therefore in serving my constituents, in dealing with their problems and issues, in taking up cases, in challenging and sorting things out. That is very firmly what I do. But also that sense of in government and seeking to develop policy within your own party. I threw myself at the work, I suppose, as an MP when I was first elected, on taking opportunities to speak, to take part in committees. And I think it is that theme of just putting yourself there and taking the opportunities. Of course, it doesn't always succeed, but then picking yourself up, having that sense of what you've learned from that, and then moving on from it. And that enabled me to move on to what's known as the front bench when I was an opposition spokesman for the party around crime prevention and shadowing the Home Office. To then, as we moved into the election in 2010, to develop policy, to get out and about, to meet all sorts of different people, to develop my own thinking as to what change and policy development we'd need to put in place. And then following the 2010 election to become Minister for Crime Prevention, I did that for a year, but then before moving on to become Security Minister, then Immigration Minister, and now as Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. And so it's been an incredible journey for me and a huge, huge privilege to do the job that I do in serving not just my own constituents, but also to be able to make a difference in the lives of people more broadly through the policy work that I've done and equally the incredible role that I have now.
And, you know, these roles are just, you know, they're so critical to all of us you have to be so trusted as an individual to be responsible for these areas. What do you think it is in terms of sort of personal attributes that have got you to the point where you are now, James?
Difficult necessarily for me to say, and I'm sure others will comment. But I suppose it's that the ability to see the bigger picture as well as to get down into the detail. Some of the analytical skills that I developed as a lawyer, and therefore, as I say, the life experiences that you have, what that gives you. So that calmness in being able to try to get to the meat of a problem. Equally, then being able to deal with things that are thrown at you. There have been all sorts of challenges, crises that crop up in government, and not being fazed by that, keeping calm around all of that, but also listening intently, taking advice, getting underneath the skin of certain issues as well, so that you really understand as best you can what is at stake, what matters, and then calmly working out a strategy to deal with that.
Tell us a little bit about a typical day or week in your life. I know there's probably not one, but give us a flavour of the things you get up to.
It's very, you know, for my job, every day can be very, very different. I obviously have my work as a constituency MP, and so Fridays tend to be in the constituency where I'm meeting constituents, dealing with their problems, to take on board feedback, thoughts they may have about local issues. But alongside all of that, during the rest of the week, I'll be in Westminster working with my MP team in the House of Commons, but also as a government minister. I have my separate team at the Northern Ireland office, where we are obviously engaged in government policy there, working around devolution and the challenges that firmly remain on that side. I'll go out to Northern Ireland to meet with political parties, to meet with other groups, other public sector organisations. It's very, very varied. But it is all about people. Mm. And yes, from being a cabinet minister, attending meetings in Whitehall with other government ministers to help form overall policy across government and have your say on various different things, you know, challenges of Brexit, of all of those issues. So from, I suppose that's what I find I really enjoy about the job, is that it is so varied. And you go from literally the big picture issues on what happens in the world, on intergovernmental relations, challenges between the United Kingdom, our relationship with the European Union, the deep and special partnership we want to take there, how we get the right thing out of the negotiations, all the way through to someone's problems with parking in their road in Sidcup or something like that. And that's really, really special, that insight that it gives you, both the good and the bad in people's lives, it's a unique role.
And a couple of practical questions. I mean, how many hours do you work in a week?
I don't know. It's a long, the days can be very, very long. Sometimes Parliament itself today will sit until 10 o'clock this evening. I've had breakfast meetings this morning, so getting up at 6 and getting out the house at about 6:30. I probably won't get back tonight till 11 o'clock. So the days can be very, 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 very long. But I think it's the stimulus, the challenge, the fact that I'm doing something that I enjoy and I feel that I'm making a difference in really drives me on. But, you know, there's no shortcut to hard work.
And how do you maintain the energy to sort of consistently work at that pace?
I think trying to keep some level of fitness. It's difficult with some of the hours that I do, but trying to keep physically fit, to try and have some, ensuring that you do protect your some downtime for you and your family, because that as I say helps me do what I do now. That stability, that underpinning, and so you know, I think thinking about your own physical and sort of your own health is a really important part of it. You
and
can
something to prioritize.
Burn out, and whilst yes, you know, you will have those long days as I've described, but it's also ensuring that you do take the breaks, because that makes you sharper. It I think helps you make some of the at times tough decisions that you need to make.
And so for people that are listening who are now fully inspired by what you've said and would love to follow in your footsteps, what would be your recommendations to them? What sort of steps should they take next?
Firstly, being clear on what your own thoughts politically are, and then working through that, which political party most closely aligns to that. Getting involved in that party in a voluntary way, because I think volunteering is a very, very practical way of actually testing whether something that you want to do is actually what you think it is.
And what's the youngest age that they could get involved in politics?
Tends to be, you know, 16, 17 is when people can start up with some of the youth side of each political party.
And what I wanted to ask is that you'll have some people listening to us who maybe are thinking, should they go to university, should they not? If they're going to, should they take subjects such as politics or law as you did? What would you say, first of all, about the necessity of going to university, yes or no?
You don't need to have a degree to become an MP. And there have been some hugely successful, not just members of parliament, but also government ministers, senior ministers who haven't necessarily gone to university. But you know, what I would say is having a good academic grounding certainly helps. And I would encourage people to, you know, follow that academic through as much as they can do. But nonetheless, it is about life experience. It is about working with people. It is about having that sense of passion on making a difference, on developing practical skills, on public speaking, on being able to work with the media, being able to distill your thoughts down in a way that you're able to convey to others. And so that, you know, requires obviously some sort of good academic side to it, and the ability to assimilate facts quickly. But it's not sort of in that dry way. It's very practical.
So there's a lot of people probably listening who are thinking about an apprenticeship. What would your view be about that in terms of, you know, building that career platform?
Yeah, I think certainly in government equally we are hugely supportive of apprenticeships, and equally in, for example, the civil service on looking at opportunities. Because some people, you know, may take the approach I've taken of becoming a politician, or public service in a very different way of, as my dad did as a local government officer, on serving the public, providing a good public administration, and the civil service being a hugely important means of delivering that, the support that I have with my incredible team, and how you make a difference in that way too. I think the key thing around all of this is that, one, it's about hard work, that there isn't any shortcut to that. Secondly, it's about putting yourself out there, stretching yourself, sometimes doing things that you may find quite challenging, uncomfortable, but testing yourself, actually giving you then that self-confidence. If you have got through that, you've succeeded, to then give you that confidence on what the next step up is. But things don't just suddenly happen overnight. It's about steady progression, about steady confidence building in yourself, and how taking each of those different steps helps you towards that goal, knowing that, yeah, the odd step back, but equally, even in doing so, learning from that and gaining that confidence to be able to move forward, put yourself out there and take and seize the opportunities when they're given to you.
That's fantastic. James, thank you so much. Really helpful. And I'm sure we're going to have lots of budding politicians and MPs as a result of this. If people want to ask more questions, where would be best for them to do that? Where should they go online, or can they ask questions generally of the party?
Well, I would say from whichever political party people represent as MPs, MPs are pretty much always willing to give their time to talk to people who are involved in politics, not necessarily from the same party political colour that they may represent, but actually to encourage people to want to get involved, to want to get involved in politics. So certainly do encourage your local Member of Parliament. I know that we all try to get out to schools and to go to colleges and to talk about what it is to be an MP. And so having that interest in contacting them, or indeed contacting your local political party as well, to make those connections and think about the next step.
James, thank you very much.